Thank you, Creator of the universe, for making us and this good world. While we are imperfect and we make mistakes, we thank you, Jesus, for the forgiveness of our sins and your spirit that dwells within us, your abiding presence that goes with us every step of the way, like the air we breathe, like every breath, you are with us. And this is part of your kingdom coming on earth, and that we may be part of that. May we respond not only with thankfulness, but with our lives and our actions and our generosity towards each other. Amen. Creator God, for daily bread and all who work to bring your harvest home, we bring you thanks. Forgive and gratitude, we who have so much yet waste what we've been given. Those who harvest is poor, whose crops have withered, water tainted, children starved. Help those who bring relief and bestow on us an unaccustomed generosity that all might share with your garden and all might sing your praise. God, provide of all we bring our thanks today, and we bless each other that the beauty of this world and the love that created it might be expressed through our lives and be a blessing to others now and always. God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness. To us and to all whom you have made, we bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. Give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts, we may show your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. May you bless our offering and the work through which these gifts occur. And we pray this all through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen.
Meal, and then the guilt of 51 million turkeys that will sacrifice their lives for the occasion. But amidst all of these other pressing concerns, there is one that stands out above the national panic. How will I stick to my diet? Well, I don't know if you're stressed out about those things as well, but coming together like this is a good reminder to really that even though this is not part of our liturgical calendar, celebrating and remembering Thanksgiving, remembering to be thankful, that thing that we as Christians should make a part of our daily lives is truly something that we have a reason to do and to do it naturally. So today we have a wonderful passage that we're going to read together, just a real great passage, not about the Thanksgiving holiday, obviously, but about God, about generosity, about gratitude, and about grace. Let's read the passage together. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to start in the kind of in the middle of a two-chapter passage. We're not going to read the entire two chapters, but it's on page 1147 of your pew Bibles. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each should do what they have decided in their heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God.
This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, among the many expressions and images of thanksgiving that we have before us this morning, our greatest joy is to say thank you for Jesus, the indescribable gift you have given us in Jesus Christ. And we humbly thank you for that now. We thank you for this passage, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the opportunity to study it together and pray for the guiding help of your Holy Spirit as we do so now. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage, as I said, comes in the middle of two chapters where Paul is talking about giving without once mentioning the word money. So he here is describing what he would like to see from the Corinthian church in the way of giving, specifically for giving for the Judean Christians. If you read these two chapters, chapter 8 and chapter 9, along with references in the other epistles and certainly references in the book of Acts, you can see that the Apostle Paul, as he was going from church to church, visiting the churches he had earlier planted, he's taking up a collection for the Judean Christians, because for whatever reason, the Judean Christians were in a desperate situation. Poverty had overtaken them. And so Paul makes the case that they had a debt of love to give back to the Judean Christians to help them in their crisis, to help them in their time of need. So this teaching on giving is not just an abstract teaching on giving, but it is a teaching on giving to the Corinthian church that even though they were miles and miles away from the Judean church, they needed to practically help the Judean church in their time of poverty, their time of need. And so in these two chapters, Paul specifically sets down goals for giving these Christians to help them to learn how to give. But this section that we're looking at today, as I said, is more about God, it's about generosity, it's about gratitude, and it's about grace. And so first and foremost, this passage is about our great God. It's about God, who is the model of generosity because he makes all of his grace abound to us. It's about God, who loves a cheerful giver because he himself is the one who gives good gifts to the poor. It's about God, whose righteousness endures forever, amen, and who enriches us in every way. It's about God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for our food and makes sure that we have sufficient seed for a harvest of righteousness. And it's about God, who has given us a gift that is too great to even put into words. God is clearly to be the object of our thanksgiving. That's why the holiday for us Christians is so much more meaningful than for the holiday for the world, is because if you don't have faith in God, who are you going to thank? We have faith in God. We have someone to thank. But you know, God is not only the object of our thanks. God is the subject of thanksgiving, because God is the God who is able. We're told here in verse 8 that God is able to make all grace abound or to overflow to you. Is that not a beautiful picture? God's grace pouring into our lives in an overflowing stream that goes out to other people. And the purpose is always to have all that we need to overflow, Paul says, in good works for other people. And God is able, we are told in verse 11, to enrich us so that we can be generous. Far from this being a passage to support a prosperity gospel of enriching ourselves, this enriching has as its goal and as its purpose meeting the needs of other people, the real needs of other people, whether it be the Judean Christians of their time or the people in need of our time, and then out of that, thanksgiving to God. So it's all about God as the subject of being the great giver and the object of our thanksgiving. Secondly, this passage is all about generosity. It's about God who does not owe us anything, but has been incredibly generous with us. God blesses us abundantly, and he gives us all that we need. God increases our seed supply so that he can enlarge our harvest. And God gives gifts freely and has even given us this indescribable gift in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so because God is generous, we are called to be generous. Now, generosity kind of works this way for us. We have X number of dollars. We decide we're going to give Z. And we have some formula to come up with Z. Maybe Z is a fraction of X, or Z is a fraction of X after we subtract off wants and needs, etc. Just to say, though, that that's not how this passage defines generosity. This passage of generosity looks at our hearts. That is the examination of this passage about generosity. There's two words actually used in this translation that we read this morning for generosity. They're different than our English word for generosity. Our English word for generosity comes from a word meaning of noble birth. That is, those who are able and of the type to give generously because that's just who they are. They're of noble birth. That's where our English word comes from. But in the word that we have here in this passage, first of all, in verse 6, it says this: whoever sows generously will also reap generously. That word literally simply means in praise. Whoever sows in praise will reap in praise. How do we sow and reap in praise? Well, we remember that everything we're giving already belongs to whom? It already belongs to God. And we're giving him the credit, not because we're giving God a gift, but because we are participating, able to use what he already has for his glory. We give God the credit and the honor and the glory, even verbally, as we give. So we give, we reap, we sow in praise. But then later, at the end of this passage, it speaks again of generosity. In verse 11, we read this: you will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And again in verse 13, because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and for everyone else. This word for generosity literally speaks of a sincerity without self-seeking, a sincerity or an integrity without self-seeking. And indeed, when used in other places, even in this same book of Corinthians, it's translated very differently. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, we read this: our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity. That word integrity is the word that's translated generosity here in chapter 9. Paul is reminding the Corinthian people that when he worked among them, he worked with integrity. Later in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 11, verse 3, Paul says this: I am afraid that your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. This word sincerity here is the same word that Paul in chapter 9 uses for generosity. Paul is using this word to ensure their sincere devotion to Christ. So our generosity of our giving is to be with integrity, is to be sincerity. And it is in that sense that God is examining our hearts here. God is examining how we give, not so much as how much we give. The sincerity or integrity of our giving that we call generosity is manifested in our giving then by being open-hearted. Not self-seeking, but open-hearted. And it is from this, then, that we get the concept of generosity that Paul is trying to teach us in this passage. If we want an image of this kind of generosity, we think of something that I think the song before us just alluded to, and that's the picture of the widow who gave in the temple. The widow in the temple gave two bits, two mites in the old translation. We read it this way: as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich placing their gifts into the temple treasury, And he also saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." So Jesus applauds and amplifies the woman's generosity. She was sincere in her devotion to God. She gave with integrity. Her giving was not to impress anyone, but it was given with an open heart. And the widow's actions address the key question of our passage in 2 Corinthians 9, which is this: if the motive of our giving is that praise and thanks be given to God, how then does that change our giving habits? How does it change our giving habits if the reason for our giving is that praise be given to God? Perhaps the best way to sum up what I've been trying to say here is that the word generosity in an English, typical English usage refers more to being open-handed. The New Testament's way of describing it is being open-hearted. So it is focused on our attitude of giving, not on the amount of our giving. Thirdly, we've said that this passage is about God, and it is about generosity. It is also about gratitude. Gratitude to God, or offering thanksgiving to our great God. We are called to be what? A grateful people. Because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, we are called to be a grateful people. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." This is our highest calling, to be God's praise-giving people. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, is the way Paul describes it here. And those words, that concept, that idea offers us countless opportunities for thanksgiving, even as we shared some of them this morning. Apart from our giving, gratitude will produce in us a joy which will take us through so many difficult circumstances, even as we've prayed here this morning. And more to the point of this passage, our generosity will produce thanksgiving from other people, those who are the recipients of our generosity. Paul says that our generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. It not only supplies a real, practical need, but as he says in verse 12, it overflows in many real expressions of thanks to God. And because of our service of giving, others will be called to praise God with us. So, if our highest calling is to live a life of praise, then our generosity in giving will cause other people to do just that, to praise God, to offer their own gifts of gratitude. So the passage is about God. The passage is about generosity. The passage is about gratitude. And finally, the passage is about grace. It's about God's grace for us. The words of this passage are bookended by the word grace. In verse 8, we read, "God is able to make all grace abound to you." It's what the Apostle John in the prologue to the gospel said, "Grace upon grace." God will make his grace abound and overflow in us. And then at the end of this passage, verse 14, "In their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given to you." So grace bookends this passage. And it's not only about grace, but it's about God's superabundant grace. Listen to some of the superlatives that are used in this passage. He says in verse 8, "In all things, at all time, having all that you need." Paul couldn't find enough ways to use the word "all" to express all he wanted to say about God's superabundant grace. Secondly, verse 8, "You will abound or overflow in every good work." Thirdly, in verse 9, "He has scattered his gifts abroad." Fourthly, "You will be enriched in every way," in verse 11. In verse 14, he speaks of the surpassing grace that God has given us. And then again, as we've said in verse 15, he speaks of God's indescribable grace. Paul just cannot find enough superlatives to talk about the grace of God in this passage. And even our word thanksgiving itself is full of grace, because the word for thanks is simply the word for grace. It's just like in the French. You might say, grâce à Dieu. That means thanks to God. Well, the original language of the Bible was the same way. When he used the word thanks, he was really saying grace. We grace God by saying thank you to him. Our thanksgiving is very literally an expression of grace. Well, giving is something that we all do. We do it naturally. Everybody gives to some extent, and we know something about giving. Truth be told, sometimes I give well, sometimes I don't give well at all. And it's my heart that matters. It's our hearts that matters when we give. And this passage then returns us to the very heart of giving. It's been said that if you feel dry in your prayers, you should go to thanksgiving. If you feel dry in your thanksgiving, I would say you should go to generosity. And if you feel dry in your generosity, then you should go to God's grace. In this church, we have ample opportunities to give, and I commend you for that. I laud you for that. You've taught me a lot about giving since I've come to this church. We give every week twice. We give for the work of the church, and we give for a special need that is on your hearts. Today, it's Ernestine's Women's Shelter. And today, we have a special collection as well for the food bank. These are all very good things. And they will all, whether it's a gift to Ernestine's Women's Shelter or a gift to the food bank, bring praise to God. They will return praise to God. But sometimes it feels like we can't do everything that's needed. But this passage assures us that we as a church will be supplied with what is needed to do with what God intends, so that we may abound in good works, so that the harvest of our righteousness will be increased, so that we can gift the poor, and so that thanks will overflow to God. That's God's part as laid out in those passages, this passage, to make sure those things happen. The encouragement of this passage is for our part to look into our hearts at the motivation for our giving. Because God's superabundant grace results in cheerful generosity, which overflows in much thanksgiving back to God. So enjoy your thanksgiving and give thanks to God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, for all that he's done for you and all that he will do for you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's pray. Dear God, in your word, you open up our hearts and you examine how we give, the reasons that we give. We thank you for this passage, even as we thank you for the example of our Lord and with the widow who taught us really how to give. And we pray, Lord, that through our giving, through our living, that much thanks will be returned to you because of what you've given to us, because of our response to it. So we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for your indescribable gift. Amen. Will you stand as we sing this song?